I have trouble imagining my future. When I picture myself as an adult, the disabled part of me and the queer part of me in particular aren't there. I know that these elements of myself will not magically fade with time, but I had never met a person over 50 who had the same attributes and led a fulfilled and successful life. Going into this interview, I did not expect to particularly like or be impacted by the person with whom I was paired. Instead, I met a person who provides a blueprint for the future I hope to have. Dee Jones is a music-loving, athletic, successful lawyer. She is also blind and in a happy relationship with a woman. Dee has always had an urge to serve others. Her career in law was a direct product of this motivation.
I always wanted to be helpful. When I was really young, there was a friend of the family who was a lawyer, and he was always so helpful, and I thought, that's what I want to do.
Later, she continued to be fascinated by the inner workings of law. But despite her obvious inclinations to such an academic career, she struggled in school. She and her older brother were both diagnosed with juvenile macular degeneration when they were young. By the time she was 5, Dee had no central vision and was legally blind.
I was doing below grade level work, mostly because lower grade level work comes in larger print. In those days, when I was getting any help, it all took place outside of the regular classroom. So I missed what was going on while I wasn't there, which is how I got so far behind.
Dee also had an undiagnosed auditory disorder called phonological dyslexia, meaning even when things would have been accessible to her auditorily, she wasn't able to process them. Even so, Dee graduated from high school and went to college with the goal of a law degree.
I didn't do so well right out of the gate. It was early in terms of the world of accommodations. The ADA hadn't passed yet, and there was something going on with me. I could not function. At the time, you could get all of your textbooks on tape. But for me, listening to taped information was like throwing words into an ocean. Somehow, even though I was legally blind, I'm incredibly visual. It turns out to be an auditory processing issue that I have on top of the blind piece. So it caused complications and I dropped out of law school. So that's a long way to say I threw away my dream.
Dee's life rapidly spiraled.
I was overwhelmed, and I definitely got into trouble. I started drinking, and I couldn't stop drinking. And I was very unhappy, and I was feeling like a complete failure.
As she struggled with the failure of the business that she had tried to start, the supposed end of her education and alcoholism, Dee was also forced to confront her sexuality.
Somehow my sexuality was tied up in all of that. I just didn't understand life or how I was going to do any of this. And so when I got sober, and I got sober when I was 22 years old, I was dealing with all these different feelings. And who was I?
After several years, Dee returned to school in her 30s after being diagnosed with phonological dyslexia. She was pulling her personal life back together. A new understanding of her disability and technology meant that she could successfully accommodate both of her disabilities.
I found software programs that I could use that, you know, you can scan a book into the computer and see those words up on your computer screen while the computer highlights each word as it reads it. And it turns out that is magical for me. That has opened up the entire world. I was telling myself I wasn't very smart. And I was smart by the seat of my pants, but I wasn't book smart. And I went back to college, and I did very well. And while I was at college getting my undergraduate degree, a professor of mine, she had a PhD from Harvard, and her undergraduate work had been done at Brown. So they're very prestigious universities. And she said to me, you know, have you ever thought about being a lawyer? I just couldn't even believe she said that to me.
In going back to college and later law school, Dee discovered another challenge that she continues to face. Her visual impairment had, for her entire life, been misdiagnosed. Misdiagnosis is unfortunately common for visually impaired people. At 4 months old, I was misdiagnosed as profoundly blind, with a condition that causes extensive other physical and intellectual disabilities. In reality, I have a moderate visual impairment. I still regularly describe my condition to doctors who say that they've never heard of it before or eye doctors who tell me blatant misinformation about my condition. But compared to what Dee experienced, I'm lucky.
My case manager then, Peggy Howard, said, you know, if you're going to go back to school, we need to get a new low vision evaluation for you so that, you know, we can provide services. And it was at that time that they discovered I didn't just have juvenile macular degeneration, you know, that only affects your central vision, that I also had all this clumping pigment in my peripheral. So in the end, it's been diagnosed as an atypical form of retinitis pigmentosa, which I think really means they don't know what's happening, why my vision loss is going the way it is, but it is a totally blinding situation, although it's been very slow. So I continue to lose vision. You know, it was really sad. I was sad about that. I'm a highly visual person, and to be losing my vision totally was shocking.
Even with this new obstacle, Dee adapted.
At that same time, a friend of mine wanted me and my partner to adopt a dog that was at the Humane Society who happened to be totally blind. We adopted that dog and he was so happy. He didn't care anything about being blind. He was always way out in front of me on a lead and finding his way through the world. And it just helped me so much. I thought, if he can do it, I can do it.
When I first learned to use a cane, I was pissed. Only blind people used canes, and I was low vision. I just wouldn't go out alone when it was bright out or when my eyes were acting up. I was fine. I didn't need this. It made me angry that people thought I did. I didn't believe the gentle insistence from my O&M instructor, a professional who teaches cane and navigation skills to the visually impaired people, until a few weeks into my cane training. We were waiting by a busy intersection. Fear was clawing at my stomach. I didn't like streets like this. I crossed them frequently, but it was always in an anxious rush in what I hoped was a break in the traffic, often accompanied by horns blaring at me or sometimes slurs hurled from open windows. I never had my cane with me. I didn't really need it. We had spent the last 5 minutes just standing, listening to the sounds of traffic. In that time, half a dozen kids my age or younger had darted across the street. That's when I finally got it. I am 14 years old, and I don't know how to safely cross a street. Now, because of my cane skills, I know how to cross a street. I love my cane, and I'm a proud part-time user. I call it Stabby, for its ability to strike at sighted angles. Dee went through a similar process. She learned how to use a white cane and is now a full-time white cane user, overcoming her own biases in the process.
I was at a hotel in Orlando, Florida, at a National Federation of the Blind conference. And I was up on the second floor of this big hotel area. And there was this grand stairway, and it was all white marble. And I had no idea that the stairway was there. And it was a humongous stairway. And it just all blended in with the white marble, and I had no idea. And just about as I was to step off the edge, the person I was with realized that I had no idea that was a stairway. And she grabbed me by the shoulders. If she had not done that, I really think I would be dead. You know, because it was a big staircase, and it was marble. It was going to win. For a long time, I struggled with this idea that, well, you have some vision. You look stupid if you have a cane and you have some vision. I let that hold me back. Eventually, it just became more clear to me that that was ridiculous. I needed to be safe, and I needed to let other people know that I wasn't seeing them.
Dee works for the state of Vermont in a large area of law focused especially on providing for low-income and otherwise marginalized people in her state. Dee and her partner, Monique, have been together for 5 years. Dee's life is by no means utopic. She overcomes challenges every day. But she's living independently, fully, and beautifully. So often stories from people who share my identities are only painful or when optimistic, are treated like inspiration porn or an incredible exception. Dee's story is painful and incredible and inspiring, but also tangible and real enough for me to believe my life can be those things.